Just a moment and I'll put it on YouTube. Okay, we're live.
Evening, everyone. I would like to welcome you to the September 14th, 2020 meeting of the University City Council meeting. It has now been called to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hills.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much. To the folks that are watching the session, during the study session, the council agreed to amend the agenda to remove item number J1, which was the liquor license for Family Dollar. And I believe we have one other agenda item we would like to add, Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I just wanted to add and nominate Alice Boone to the renaming of Streets and Parks Task Force. And if we have to, I would hope that we can mention her name as part of the task force in today's meeting and then formally add her name to the next agenda on the council so that we can do that formally. Thank you.
With that, is there a second to that amendment to the agenda? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. You've now got an amended agenda in front of you. Any discussion regarding the agenda as amended? Hearing none, those in favor of amending the agenda, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You also have before you, council members, a proclamation celebrating the 100th birthday of Willie Thomas. We want to extend our congratulations to the birthday recipient. And what I would also say to each of you is I think Larit will coordinate with us as to if we will be able to do signatures during this period of time and then get it to the family. You have before you the July 21st special meeting of City Council, their minutes. Is there a motion that those minutes be approved? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the August 10th, 2020 study session regarding the solid waste rate study. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have before you the August 10th, 2020 regular meeting of the University City Council. Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Ms. Klein. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We have a number of appointments to be made. I'll make the first one. As the mayor, I need to make the appointments to the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax Board, and I would like to reappoint Brendan O'Brien to the EDRST. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. I also have a nomination to the Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority of Richard Sorkin. Is there a second?
So moved.
Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Again, as mayor, I would like to nominate John Geiger to the Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oops, the ayes have it. Just for the record, you will note that one of the members of the EDRST board that was appointed by the St. Louis County Council Tracy Moore needed to step aside as she became elected to the school board. So therefore, the St. Louis County Council has appointed Brandon Bradshaw to the EDRST board. You also note that we have a swearing in of Malik Johnson to the Urban Forestry Commission was held last month. We will now move forward with the, by the way, to all the members of the public who are watching, thank you for the any citizen comments that were provided to us. Now have before us the public hearing for the Family Dollar liquor license at 7318 Olive. And I will call the public hearing to order at 6:37 p.m. Madam Clerk, do we have any comments that have been provided to us for this public hearing?
There are none.
Thank you very much. With that being said, I will close the public hearing for the Family Dollar liquor license at 6:38 p.m. We'll now move forward to the consent agenda as amended without item number J1. So we have before you items J2, 3, 4, and 5. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion made by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Clay. Any discussion? Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crow. City Manager Rose, I first of all want to apologize. I didn't get back to you on this issue. I just found out or realized the omission of Kennedy Street in phase two of your asphalt repavement lineup. The only street that, remember, we made the adjustment on the previous plan.
Yes.
And I noticed that. And again, like I said, I do apologize. I just saw that and then looked at my old list. Kennedy Street was not on that list. So can that be added to the phase two street repair?
We would have it added as an add-on that after we complete all of the other streets, if there's funding available, we would add Kennedy Street.
If you would, please, because it's long overdue.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
We have before you a motion and a second for the consent agenda. Any further questions or discussion?
I'm sorry, what was the second? I didn't hear the second, I apologize.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you.
Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. I will now move to the city manager's report, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, this agenda item asks council to receive a very brief presentation from Chief Hampton. Wanted to recognize Chief Hampton as well as the police department for achieving their certification. Certainly the receipt of this certification amplifies our commitment to transparency and professionalism within the department. And Chief Hampton will comment on the criteria that was met to receive the certification and recognize those employees that were involved. So I would turn it over to Chief Hampton.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the City Council, as well as Mr. Rose. This is a reference the certification process that was a very detailed process that we started. The initial contract was signed early of 2016 prior to Chief Adams actually retiring. And so it was a transition of a lot of procedures, policies, standards, general orders that we had to get down to it. To the point of revamping everything that we had because it was CALEA standards that we had on file for our policies and our general orders and our regulations. So with that being said, we encompassed the consultations and the helps of one of the originators of the CALEA accreditation process, which was retired Captain Carol Jackson. A special thanks goes out to retired Captain Carol Jackson in consulting and helping the Captain Dana Morley, who was assigned to these professional standards revamping of it. So I want to first start off there in giving them the special thanks, definitely warranted, as well as the praise and admiration for their dedication and law work on helping us accomplish this amazing feat. Now, what this feat does is it brings back into the oversight of a nationally and a statewide accredited organization having hearsay to come in and not only to look and see that what we're saying we're doing with our policies and our procedures, but also checking our proofs and making sure that we are actually living up to those standards for our community. That is being done. That is a continuous basis. So we have received that certification and that stamp of approval, which was accomplished December of 2019, the official benchmark, and that's re-upped and that's rechecked every 3 years. So this is something that that policies and procedure, we don't just have to send it in 3 years. Now we have to keep up on these every year in facilitating those standards and showing that as the time changes, as the policies changes, as procedures change, that we have already been above the board. And many times these state accredited organizations, meaning like POST, Missouri POST standards, or even the Missouri Police Chiefs Association is in line with internal, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, as well as with the city managers and the municipal leagues. This is a best standard practice that is required for all members of SLAPCA, St. Louis Area Police Chiefs, as well as the St. Louis Area Municipal League's membership. You have to have this by the year of 2022. We're well above though, and well ahead of some of those deadlines and those requirements. It's also not only SLAPCA, SLACMA, the City Managers Association, everybody has put a stamp of approval that the law enforcement organizations will need to be accredited. And this is something that we were the first in the St. Louis County area back in 1994 with the CALEA accreditation. And now we're back in line and back on board with the accreditation process. So once again, a special thanks to Captain Dana Morley, all the other members of the police department that assisted with that, as well as retired Captain Carol Jackson.
Thank you. I also wanted to highlight for the Mayor and Council the action that you took on the consent agenda also advances our police department, especially in the area of transparency relative to body cameras. And so now we will be in a situation where it will be clear as to what is occurring, more clear as to what is occurring on scene. And I certainly think that that lends itself to getting that certification once it is due in 3 years.
Yes, sir. That is correct. Like you said.
So I know on behalf of all of my colleagues, I know we'd all like to congratulate you and thank you, as well as Captains Morley and Jackson, for all the hard work in getting the reaccreditation. So thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're here.
Thank you.
I'm not sure in the world of Zoom how we give you applause or anything like that.
Mayor and council members, this next item asks council to consider a conditional use permit, PC 20-07, approval of a conditional use permit to establish and operate a proposed medical marijuana dispensary. And I believe planning and zoning director Clifford Cross is on Zoom with us to present this item.
Yes, sir. It was a little hectic there for a minute, a little bit of issues, but good evening to all of you. And as Mr. Rose had indicated, this is a conditional use permit for a medical marijuana dispensary at 7555 Olive Boulevard. I think you're pretty familiar with this process. You actually saw a similar request about 2 months ago. Per our code, the only difference that you really have between the two is that they are in two different underlying zoning districts. This one specifically is within the general commercial zoning district, which still requires the issuance of a conditional use permit. So back on August 26th, the Plan Commission, as required per our ordinance, conducted the public hearing and heard the request by the applicants. At that meeting, there was no public comment. They were allowed to either submit public comments or actually request to speak via Zoom. There was no public comments either expressed for or against the request. As part of that meeting, the Plan Commission heard the testimony, considered the findings of fact. They recommended approval of the request unanimously. The only concern that came out of that was a question about what kind of traffic impact would there be coming out of that facility. I mean, especially if you make a left turn onto Olive, what kind of negative impact would that have? And one of the recommendations, and I think you see it in your staff report, was that that the applicant would agree to construct an on-site no left turn sign at the premises upon a comprehensive study of traffic patterns and incidents that could result in official request of the city, specifically Mr. Alfasson from engineering if they felt like it was needed. And I did just get an email from Sinan because one of the factors they looked at was, have there been any accidents within that site? And they could go back as far as 3 years, and he did confirm there has not been an accident from anyone coming out of that site over the last 3 years now, whether that's because it's been vacant or not. But the numbers show there has not been an accident coming out of there. And then, quite honestly, Mr. Mulligan had indicated this as well. I mean, you can put a no left turn sign on the premises all you want, but enforcing it really, what's the ability to enforce it? And then you run into various other issues, such as, do you have to talk to MoDOT? Do you have to talk to St. Louis County and so forth? So their ultimate recommendation was to recommend approval of the request with that condition in there. So you can either approve that based on that condition, and then staff can reevaluate. And if we think that it needs to have that, then we could, in a sense, come back and talk to you about it. Or you can just approve it without that recommendation in it, or you can deny the request. So that's really a rundown of the August 26th meeting, what came out of it, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Mr. Cross, first of all, what I wanted to address is that egress or ingress, or whatever you want to call it, is the same for Dollar Tree. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's one of the things. Well, let me backtrack a little bit. Some patrons from that site will use that Dollar Tree one, but they do have their own individual curb cut off of Olive as well. One of the things that I think has happened over the years is they've, in a sense, you can't go around the back of it because it's a change in grade. So unless you are plunging down, you can't do that. But up on the front by the sign, it does look like there's been a parking block, in a sense, removed, that kind of keeps an opening where some cars, I don't think it's designed to do that, but I think some cars do cut through that in between the sign and the building and then jump there on that common ingress, egress with the Dollar Tree. So, I mean, they do use it, but they do each have their own standalone ingress, egress point.
Really? I've got to look at that again. But the other question is, are we sure that they're going to have enough parking? Because as you indicated, I mean, because they're limited. Dollar Tree owns most of that lot.
They came out of it. They actually had a surplus of parking.
Okay, good.
They had plenty of parking.
Good, that's good. And that's my question, thank you.
Thank you for the presentation, Director Cross. Being intimately familiar with that stretch of road, there's a Walgreens, there's a Goodwill, there's, as Councilman Smotherson mentioned, there's a Dollar Tree there. I have not seen a left turn being an issue there. I mean, I've been in this area, certainly Councilman Smotherson longer than I, but I've been here 15, 16 years, longer than that, actually, and not seen significant issues related to that. So I don't know. For me personally, that signage is not of great import to me, but you know, I will defer to others, but I don't think it's necessary.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. So that was my first meeting on Plan Commission as the liaison, and Mr. Cross is right. as far as they did express some concern about, you know, a left turn and the risk, and having just come to them from 7 years on traffic commission, I explained that usually the police, if there's a traffic concern on a traffic commission related issue or traffic issue, provides some history, because oftentimes perceptions are not validated by the statistics. And so I think, if I recall, they recommended it with asking about the history, and that's why we're getting that. And then during that meeting, Mr. Mulligan actually reminded us that there's really little jurisdiction that we have, because it's a state road. So any traffic enforcement and restricted turns is up to the state, not us.
Motherson.
Yes, sir. Mayor Crowe, sorry about that. I don't want to prolong this any longer, but I want to make sure that the council is aware, and to ask Mr. Cross, has this issue been resolved? You are aware that the borderline for Dollar Tree runs through the building, the west end of that building. How have they resolved that with Dollar Tree?
Okay, so you're talking the common property line?
Yes, sir. The common property line runs through the west end of that building. That extension that they built out on the west end of that building, actually the property line runs through that. And I'm just curious how they resolve that with Dollar Tree.
Well, to resolve that with, I mean, that really has no impact on the use itself, the structure.
Right.
If that's what the encroachment is, I would assume that that's been addressed, and the attorneys in the room can answer this one better than me, through some sort of civil action, or maybe it's some sort of agreed easement, adverse possession, whatever it may be. But I think the structure itself and the way it's sitting is it's in good standing. It would be my guess on that.
So we have a number of options before us, and as that's been presented by Mr. Cross, I believe we're probably needing a motion from one of my colleagues here as to which direction you want to go. And I will be quite honest, I don't really have a strong desire one way or the other. And my guess is my colleagues are wanting to hear from the council members from the third ward to see what your thoughts are. Mr. Smotherson.
I move that we accept the CUP. I move that is accepted. I'm in favor of it. Councilmember Clay and I have extensively talked with the owners, and we are in absolute agreement with it. Just wanted to make sure that there were some things that were worked out, but I move that we accept this CUP.
And do we need to do it without this?
I'm sorry,
Zira. Do we need to opine on the signage issue, whether or not?
Well, that was my actual question. My actual question was, is your motion, does it include, is it just simple, a CUP, or do we have to worry about the left-hand turn sign?
I just say a simple CUP, Smotherson.
Right, I would say so.
Yeah, simple CUP.
I'm also with Clay, Councilmember Clay. There is no issues about left turns there.
So my understanding, Councilmember Smotherson, your motion is that the medical marijuana dispensary conditional use permit be issued with no traffic concerns.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mulligan, am I doing okay if that's his motion?
That's correct. And just to clarify, the sign was going to be on private property. As you know, an official traffic sign is typically going to be on the public right of way. So if the motion is approved, it will be that the conditional use permit be granted, and that the condition stated in the staff report, that is, that the applicant agrees to construct an on-site no left turn sign at the premises upon a comprehensive study of traffic patterns and incidents resulting in official request to the city, that not be a condition.
That is Mr. Smotherson's motion. Am I correct, Mr. Smotherson?
Yes, sir.
And I believe Mr. Clay, are you his second?
I'm the second, yes.
Thank you very much. Now having gone through that, are there additional questions or concerns to be addressed by members of council prior to the vote? Mr. Cusick.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to confirm what the council members from the third ward have said, that I also traveled that section of Olive a lot, and I don't see an issue with it being with the left turn out of there. I think we're okay with just the sign.
Anyone else? Hearing nothing else, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Ayes have it. Thank you very much. We'll now move on to new business. Who would like to introduce resolution number 2020-10, budget FY 20 budget amendment number 3? Is there a motion? Is there an introduction? Ready to do that? Am I doing this out of whack again? I apologize if I'm doing it out of whack. I believe we have a motion by Mr. Cusick and seconded by Mr. McMahon. Mr. Rose, would you information for us?
Sure. Honorable Mayor and Council members, this agenda item is simply the customary modifications to the FY 20 budget. As the finance department goes through the expenditures and revenues, it is recommending to make those adjustments where expenditures have increased or revenues have increased that were outside of the proposed budget or the approved budget. And the adjustment is required to be approved by the city council.
And is there a total give or take? I'm not worried. My question is not about the EDRST or the capital improvement or the parks and stormwater sales tax fund. Mine is more just about the revenue and expenditures. Are we close to a net even, or how much are we dipping into reserves? That's my total question.
Is Keith on this call?
I don't believe that he is.
He's not been elevated, but he's on the list of participants.
Okay, I'm not aware that we are dipping into the reserves in order to make these adjustments. Here he is.
I just wanted to make you feel like you were, part of the team tonight, and call on you at a time when maybe you weren't necessarily thinking that. The reason I asked that was because there was one that said fire increase in salaries will need to be transferred from general fund reserve. But I wondered whether that was just a transition item, because aren't we also going to be receiving, we hope, some SARS funds from the county that will go back into some of these items?
Honorable Mayor, council members, Keith, you are muted. So let me respond to your question, Mayor, with regards to the county releasing funds from the CARES Act, and we anticipate receiving estimated amount of $2.3 million. And so, yes, those can go towards addressing some of the additional expenditures that we incurred as a result of COVID.
So, Keith, going back to my original question, are we close to a net on the revenues and expenditures for these, or no?
We'll be close, but we may have to do another budget amendment when I get a little closer going through the revenues. But right now we may be slightly below, but I need to do a further analysis of the revenues.
Okay.
And but we'll be close to be even.
Honorable Mayor, council members, Keith, I believe if we are successful in obtaining the funding from the county that addresses the expenditures that we have incurred for COVID, I believe that will address any deficit or any usage, I won't say deficit, any usage of reserve funds.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. And I do think all my colleagues saw when Gregory gave us the number of 2.3, you know, you'd seen the number of how much it was per citizen, and then we figured out what we anticipate being the total amount. So took the county a long time to get those numbers out to everybody and agree on a formula that was acceptable, and it wasn't the prettiest process known to man to get it there. Are there other questions regarding resolution 2020-10? Hearing none, you have already have a motion and a second for the resolution. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 The ayes have it. Now we'll do resolution 2020-11, rights of way agreement with Everstream Solutions, LLC.
Did you want me to introduce?
Yeah, go ahead. I apologize. I think probably for resolution, I probably put the cart before the horse on that last one.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this agenda item asks Council to consider an agreement with Everstream for use of our right of way. And Mr. Mulligan, do you want to just highlight a couple of the elements of the agreement, primarily just discussing what we will receive in revenues on an annual basis?
Sure, be happy to. The resolution authorizes the city manager to execute this right-of-way use agreement with Everstream. Everstream plans to install communications facilities in the right-of-way. Council has approved similar right-of-way use agreements in 2018 and 2019. The terms are substantially the same as what Council's previously approved. The amount of compensation the city will receive is based on the linear feet of facilities in the rights of way. Everstream plans to install an estimated 16,536, and at the current rate per foot, that's $32,741 a year. The agreement is a 10-year agreement. There is an increase not to exceed 2% annually that is authorized under this agreement. And be happy to answer any questions about it, but that's essentially it.
Mr. Hayes. Do they make these agreed upon payments just annually or for the, what is the payment schedule?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Cusick, it's on a monthly basis, the payments are.
Thank you.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. There have been some recent concerns over infrastructure expansion and things. So this is just using the existing infrastructure, poles, towers, what's there. It's not erecting anything new, towers. It's just usage of space that's already there. I think the city manager knows where I'm coming from with this.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, this is just use of our right-of-way. So they're able to lay so many linear feet of, typically it's fiber optics today, but it does not address any sort of towers or it does not allow for the construction of any cell towers.
Perfect, thank you.
Any other questions regarding resolution 2020-11? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve that resolution? Motion by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there additional discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Have it. We now have resolution 2020-12, a resolution establishing a street and park renaming task force. You have the resolution in your packet. I'm not sure if Mr. Rose has comments he would like to make.
No comments here, Mayor.
Are there questions or comments from members of the council? I think we all know that we are trying to do what we believe is appropriate for express the values of our community, and we hope that this resolution is a good start in that direction. Ms. Klein.
I was just wondering what the time frame for this task force is.
I believe the resolution has a sunset of about 120 days. All right, Mr. Mulligan, I think we'll probably give them a little leeway one side or the other of that, but we hope to have 120 days, which would be, if we're starting around September, hopefully it'd be the end of the year?
That's correct. Mayor, 120 days from passage. So it'll be 120 days from today. Council may extend that. Probably just a motion would be sufficient if you want to extend it as you come closer to that period.
I do hope, and I believe that probably Mr. Rose and I may meet with him the first time, I'm not certain, but I really am a little concerned about what I'll call mission creep on this one. And I hope we don't, I hope we don't experience mission creep by the task force itself. If council chooses to expand it, that's fine. But I'd kind of like the task force to move through this process in a careful and considerate way. And then if there's other issues that come up, then I think they need to be brought back to us. And then we'd make a decision to move forward either with that particular task force or a different one. It's kind of my thoughts. If there are no other questions, could I have a motion, please, for resolution 2020-12?
So moved
by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Additional discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. I believe now if I can ask one of you to please nominate the seven members of this task force. We recognize that each member of council got an opportunity to name someone to the task force. And if we can take all of these seven nominations in one vote, I think that would be great. Mr. Cusick.
Yes, Mayor. I make a motion that we adopt and approve all of these individuals that have been so named by my fellow council members and the mayor. And just for the listening public, that Council Member Smotherson at the beginning of the meeting did add Alice Boone's name, and so she is in the list. And I would like to nominate all of these people for this task force en masse. And before I finish, I'd like to say thank you to all of the people for being nominated.
A motion by Mr. Cusick, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Really quickly, in case people do not have the agenda in front of them, Holly Ingram, Don Fitz, Mimi Hendricks-Taylor, Andrew Wool, Esley Hamilton, Alice Boone, and Susan Armstrong to also serve and be as chair. There's a motion and a second. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Have it. We look forward to the work of this task force and addressing the needs of our community. You now have before you the council reports and business under agenda item lettered M. Does anyone have a report they would like to make under this particular heading? Hearing none. Are there any council comments for this evening? Mr. Clay.
Actually, I was going to do my council report, my liaison report.
That's okay. Come on in.
Had the privilege of being the liaison to the Green Practices Commission. That's a new assignment for me. Certainly want to acknowledge my time as the council liaison to the senior commission and thank those commissioners for their service and the staff liaison, Linda Yule Taylor. Now the pleasure again working with Green Practices. Jenny Wendt is the staff liaison and those commissioners. One item I will bring forward is that the city is undertaking through a third party, a food waste study, looking at the amount of food that is thrown out as waste in the community. And we'll be making some recommendations based on our data related to composting and other options for food waste that might be more environmentally palatable, shall we say. So that's being undertaken. What I certainly can do is connect with Ms. Wendt about how to get that information out. I think they are trying a few different ways to solicit folks to participate in the study. They only need about 40 or so people, so not a huge number, but we do want a diverse cross-section of our community to be represented in that study. So I will certainly follow up with her on the ways in which they're going to get that message out. But that is my report. Thank you.
Any other comments by members of council? I would just quickly say to everyone that I do believe that, as the city manager alluded earlier, that our movie night that we had this past weekend was quite a success. I believe that
Mayor, your volume went down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know what happened. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I apologize. The movie night that was sponsored by the Loop through the EDRST and the LSBD seemed to be a success this past weekend, with all spaces being taken. The police also reported there was a very good crowd. The loop foot traffic was great throughout the process. I think many of you know that the proceeds, we did have a cost of admission to probably do as much for crowd control as anything, so that there was an investment made by each person so they'd show up to take their spots, since we had limited spots. The revenue generated by it will be shared with the University City School District, a supplemental food program to help our kids who are spending more time at home and not getting their meals at school, which I would also say to my colleagues, at some point in time, we may need to do, I'm not sure if we need to do another food drive, because I'm not sure that's the most efficient, but it may be time for us to look at helping out again, because we have so many of our children who rely on a good meal at school or a couple of good meals at school, and now they're at home, and we need to make sure that we can help out whenever we can. I had a long conversation with the superintendent about that last week, and it may be time for us to step in and help out in an efficient manner. I also am very glad that the SARS funding is coming through to help us during this time, because we all recognize that these are challenging times for all of us. By the way, does anyone else have any other comments? I'm looking to see if there's a hand up, and there is not. If there's not, then I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, leasing, purchase, or sale of real estate. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Everyone will give us about 5 minutes, about the length of time it would take us if you guys weren't working the room. In the council chambers to go down to the executive session. If you give us 5 minutes, we'll hopefully start our executive session. To the members of the public, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We hope that we continue to make the best of a challenging situation for all of us. Have a good evening.